we said, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky." We sing, we sing, "Over the clouds and beyond the blue sky, taken where people, there's no sickness, neither sickness nor die." I want to talk to you this morning along the line. I could call this message, it's your choice. You can live in the clouds or in the fog. I'm calling it, "You can live in a skyscraper." The Hebrew people thought that the sky was a canopy of solid crystal stretched above the earth. They thought the earth was flat, that the sky was a solid crystal stretched above the earth. That's why it's called the firmament. 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 It was called, they thought it was stretched above, like a ceiling, like we have here. And they thought that on top of that firmament, that's what the Bible said, the waters above the firmament were divided from the waters below the firmament. And they thought that there was a great vast ocean on top of that ceiling, that canopy of solid crystal. From that ocean came rain and snow. They thought that the firmament was supported by mountains at the end of the earth. A big mountains over here, mountains over here, and this big solid crystal firmament or ceiling was stretched from mountain to mountain. And that there are windows in that firmament of crystal that were opened occasionally, and this big vast ocean above the firmament would come through those windows, and that would give us rain and snow. They thought the sun and the moon and the stars were nailed or fastened to this ceiling of the earth, and that the moon and stars and sun were there like we would fasten these fixtures on to the ceiling. Later, they knew better, but they still metaphorically used such terms as the corners of the earth and as the sky. We still speak and sing song. Are you listening? We still speak and sing song like ascending to the skies or mounting to the sky or climbing to the sky, or buildings pierce the sky. We say the sky is the limit. But the real truth is, we all live in the sky. Job was asking that question. He said, "Where does the sky begin?" The sky, we all live in the sky. We've lived in the sky all of our lives. We cannot live anywhere else. The tallest ladder or the highest rocket can take you no nearer the sky than you are right now. The sky kisses Mount Everest, but the lowest mound lies in the loving embrace of the sky. The poor man's cabin lies in the sky as much as does the millionaire's 40-story building. The steamship divides the sky as much as does the airplane. And the railway train is in the sky as much as is the rocket. The working man with his dinner pail is walking through the sky as he goes to work. The housewife, the busy housewife, is living in the sky. The student walking to class is walking in the sky. It's a very interesting thing. And that is that in the upper air, we call them clouds. In the lower air, we call it fog. But it's the same thing. I've not been over 40,000 feet in the air, but it's just the same up there as it is down here. Now, I'm saying today that scientifically, the sky starts on the earth. Now, I'm saying that the sky begins in the dust of the pavement. The sky begins at the roots of the dry grass. The sky begins at the top of the gravel. Are you listening? Are you listening? I'm saying that the truth is, most of us say, I'd like to go up into the sky. But you are in the sky now. The truth is, oh, you say, I just want to live like I felt like I was in the clouds. Well, but if you're a little bit dense, you'll say, I'm a little foggy today. But the truth is, the clouds in the what we call the sky are the same as the fog. Descending clouds become fog. So you take your choice. You can live in the fog, or you can live in the clouds. Some in this depression are living in the fog. Others in this depression or recession are living in the clouds. Two people, same recession, same problems, same prices. One person said, I just don't see how we're going to make it. And the other says, my God shall supply all my needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What's the difference? No difference at all. One is living in the fog, and the other is living in the cloud. But the truth is, the fog is simply a cloud, and you can take your choice. You can live in the sky, or you can live on earth. For every person who leaves this house this morning is going to walk with your feet touching the earth, and everything above the soles of your feet will be in the sky. Now, it's up to you. You see, you know, you say, I'd like to go up in the sky. Well, if you have enough sense to know, you're already in the sky. For the atmosphere 6 feet above the earth is as much sky as the atmosphere 6,000 feet above the earth. So it's up to you. Some people in recession live in the fog, and others live in the clouds. Some people sit here in this service this morning, and you're in the fog. I mean, to you, it's church, and there's no lilt, there's no joy. But there are people this morning in this building who are sitting in the clouds. Now, you sit in the same place, but some call it fog, and some call it clouds. Some folks this morning who see the converts walk down the aisle, some folks will ho-hum. I wonder how long the invitation is going to be. Or am I going to get out before 12:15 or 12:20 or 12:30? And you live in the fog. There are other folks, thank God, sit in the same service, hear the same sermon, watch the same invitation, see the same converts who will live in the clouds. It all depends on what you want to call it, whether it's the clouds or in the fog. Some people live in America, and you live in the fog. I mean, you're more concerned about the earth than you are the sky, and you live in the fog. But I'm saying that there's some people who get up every morning and say, thank God, I'm an American. Thank God, I have freedom. Thank God, I live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Some people can see a flag waving, and they're in the fog. Other folks see the same flag waving, and they're in the clouds. Some people come to church like this and realize that this is this great church where God has seen fit to bless all through these years. They say, boy, this is wonderful. Blessed be God. I never saw anything like this in my life. This other people can sit in the same service, hear the same music, hear the same sermon, watch the same invitation, see the same soul saved, see the same folks baptized, and they can't wait to get out. Why? Because some people are so foolish that they're earthbound, and some of us, bless God, we're skybound. And yet we live in the same place. We have the same altitude. To some, it's the sky. To others, it's on earth. To some, we say, I'd like to go up into the sky. Others say, bless God, I'm in the sky now. Some people say, I'd like to go through the clouds. Some people say, bless God, I'm in the clouds now. Some people say it's foggy. Some people say I'm living in the clouds. Why? Because the same people enjoy the same blessing, and yet we're not cognizant of the blessings that God is giving to us. Some folks shop for Christmas, and they come home, and they say to the family, oh, I never was so tired in my life. I'm just worn out. Oh, are we having a good Christmas? Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and season's greetings, and Yuletide cheer, and my feet are so sore. Other people go to the same shopping centers, walk down the same concrete, wear the same thickness of soles, and come home and say, bless God, I got to buy things today for folks I love. Bless God, this is Christmas time. They're just as tired as the gripers, but some folks live in the clouds, and some folks live in the sky.
Some folks go to bed at night and say, oh, I just don't think I can take another step. Well, I wish you wouldn't. But anyway, but I don't think I can take another step. And other folks, just as tired, say, thank God I've got a bed. What's the difference? Some folks live in the clouds and some folks live in the sky. And listen, the difference between the happy people in this room this morning and the unhappy people does not lie in circumstances. There are people this morning who have identical lifestyles, identical salaries, identical jobs, identical conditions, identical type homes or houses, and yet some people live in the clouds and some live in the fog. Some people walk in the sky and some people are earthbound. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm not going to live the one life I've got to live in the fog. Not going to do it. I'm going to live in the cloud. I'm going to live in the sky. You say, preacher, have you ever been up in the sky? Yeah, I'm up in the sky right now. I'm on a high right now. You say, why? I'm not going to eat three meals a day, plus a midnight snack, plus the 3 o'clock in the morning break. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it and not enjoy every bite I take. I'm going to live in the sky. I'm not going to be earthbound. I'm going to live in the clouds. I'm not going to live in the fog. Listen, I'm 56 years old. If I live to be 70, I've got 13 more years and 9 months and 6 days. And I'm not gonna live in the fog. Not me. I'm gonna live in the sky. I'm gonna live in the clouds. I'm gonna take every moment of my life and squeeze everything out of it I can. Job said, where does the sky begin? The sky begins where the earth stops. And if you want to, you can live in the clouds. Or if you want to, you can live in the fog. If you want to, you can live in the sky. Or if you want to, you can live on the earth. Some people provide for the family. Some folks come home and they finish Christmas shopping and they're flat busted. Everybody here this morning is flat busted. And no doubt about it. And some people say, oh my, prices are so high. Oh my. Things are just going up all the time. Oh my. And other people come home, the same type job, the same type salary, same shopping center. They come home and say, bless God, I got to provide for my family again this year. Thank God I had enough money to buy gifts for my family. Some women will fix a dinner on Christmas. And they'll say, after it's over, oh, my soul, I'm just worn out. And nobody appreciates me. I can tell you why. But nobody appreciates me. I'm just worn out. And other ladies will go to bed at Christmas night with tired of body tired of legs and arms. But they'll lie there Christmas night and look up to God and say, thank you, God. Thank you that I got this year to cook for my family. Thank you that I got to spend Christmas with my family. Thank you that I'm well. Thank you that, listen, I know people in this room, I know a lady in this room that has no legs at all, who's happier than most of you folks have two legs. I know a little lady who, because of a car accident, lost both of her limbs, and yet she got artificial legs and learned how to walk. Can't learn how to drive a car? I'll never get in one she's driving, I'll guarantee you. No way. No way. One time in my life, I did that. I was met on a rainy, rainy day at the Raleigh-Durham Airport in North Carolina. Fellow drove me, I was late. The plane was late. Fellow drove me 80 miles an hour up down to Washington, North Carolina, on the eastern, near Greenville, North Carolina. And we got about 40 miles down there, and we're going 80 miles an hour on a slick road. I said, don't put your foot too heavy on that accelerator. He said, I don't have a foot. I said, wait a minute now, what do you have? He said, both of my legs are wood. And I said, fella, let me drive. I didn't get to, but I promise God. But I'll never, anyway, I'm saying, that it's a tragedy. It's a shame, a sin for that little lady without any legs to be happier than a person has two legs on which to walk. I'm saying you don't have to live in a fog because the fog is the same as clouds. You don't have to live on earth because the only thing that touches the earth is the sole of the foot. But bless God, everything above the ground is sky. And you can live in a skyscraper all the time. I go to the airport on Monday mornings to check in. I'm the same thing. I'm just a robot. Walk in the door. Walk up, to the counter. Give them a ticket. Get my boarding pass. Walk to the gate. Get on a plane. Sit down. Read about the Chicago Bears losing. And all the Cubs. And all the Bulls. And go pray. And go to a motel. Somebody comes for me at 7:15. They put a quarter in me. I go to the church. They put a quarter. I preach till a quarter runs out. And then I wait till somebody takes me home. They take me and let me out. I get it. Now, I could say tomorrow morning if I wanted to, oh, this is a humdrum. Oh, bless God for humdrum. Oh, my soul, I'm just so tired of traveling. Or I can act like I'm on a vacation. I can get on the airplane. I do often and close my eyes and say, I'm going on a vacation. And I can say, boy, how many people would love to be on this airplane this morning? I wish I could find one of them. But you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying it is a sin for God's people to live in the cloud, in the fog, when the fog is the same thing as the cloud. You know, the sky begins where the earth stops. The other day I was listening to a preacher on the radio. And the preacher said, where will you spend eternity? He kept saying it. He over and over again. He didn't study much that week, I guess. He kept saying, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? And I said, shut up, man. I'm spending it now. We got the strange testimony. Oh, when I die, I'll have eternal life. I've got as much eternal life right now as I have the day, minute after I die. Now then. Some people say, Brother Hyam, I'm going to die and go to heaven. Not me. I'm in heaven now. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That's what it is now. I've got it now. John said in John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And then the next chapter he says, abide in me. And that word abide is the same word as the word mansion in John chapter 14. What the Lord is saying, he's saying, you can mansion in me now. John Peterson said, heaven came down and glory filled my soul, and I am as much in heaven today as I will be 5 minutes after I die. The fellow was right in the taxi cab. He was right. The cab. I said, sir, I said, you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? He said, I ought to. I'm in hell now. And I said, you're right. You're exactly right. Because the life of the unsaved man today is a foretaste of hell. That loneliness you feel is only a foretaste of the loneliness you'll feel when you burn in hell. And that emptiness is only a foretaste of it. Let me tell you something. Those of us who are born again are enjoying a foretaste of heaven right now. And those of us, if we choose to, I'm now living in eternity. I was thinking a while ago, when I was thinking about this little truth, no little truth, this great truth, I was thinking about, looked at my mother, and I thought about those years. I was home 50 years ago this week. I heard my mother say to my daddy, Athy, we've got to get him something. He's our boy. And daddy said, we don't have any money. And my mother said, but Athy, it's Christmas time, and we got to get our boy something for Christmas. He's never had a present before except a few pieces of candy or an orange or an apple. He's 6 years old now. I remember my daddy went, started looking in garbage cans. And my daddy found in a garbage can behind the Argyle Apartments in Dallas, Texas, an old bicycle that was beat up. And my daddy pulled the parts out of that garbage can and made a bicycle. And Mama painted it. And they gave it to me for my first Christmas present in my life. When I was 6 years old, 50 years ago, next Saturday. You know those little places Mom and I used to live? Those little shacks? We lived in the sky. We never lived in the fog. We lived in the clouds. I mean, the sky was where we lived. Why?
I never, in all the years I was growing up, heard my mother complain. Never one time. I have not heard her yet complain one time. Never. Never heard my mother say that the stove is too hot. Never heard it. I've seen her get up in the morning and build a fire in a wood stove, and build a fire in a cook stove, and cook a little what breakfast we could have, and walk 2 miles to a school to work in a hot lunchroom, work all day with teeth that are black and rotting. Walk home 2 miles, put a little something together, bank the stove for the night. Never heard her say she's tired. Never. You know why? Because she always chose to live in the clouds. Little old shack out there on Ann Arbor Street. 2 rooms with a telephone booth in the backyard. And a serious notebook catalog in the telephone booth. I never heard her complain about it. It was in the sky. Little house on Ramona Drive, where one day I came in, a snake had crawled up between the boards and the floor. It was early American house. Early American furniture, too. And my mother was an early American woman, but saw a snake in the floor, on the floor, crawling across the floor of our house. But we lived in the sky. We always lived in the sky. We lived in a skyscraper. And I want you to know the sky starts where the ground stops. Christmas time brings back many, many sweet memories to me. I always wonder what shall I tell. What Christmas memories shall I bring? This morning, I don't know why, but I was thinking, well, no, yesterday morning I was, and yesterday I drove out at Columbia Street to the 5,000 block on Columbia Street and looked in the window of a little house where 22 years ago, this Friday afternoon, I was out soul winning on Christmas, the day before Christmas, knocked on the door on Columbia Street. Mrs. McBroom came to the door. No, Mr. McBroom, I think it was. Was it Mr. or Mrs.? Doesn't make any difference. And I think it was him. I talked to him. And I said, you know, if you died, you'd go to heaven? And Mr. McBroom, or whichever one it was, said, could you come back tonight? I said, we're separating tonight. Our home's breaking up. Beautiful flocked Christmas tree over here, presents around the tree. And I went back that night, and there was the couple. They were about to separate. And I said, could I tell you before you leave, could I tell you a beautiful story? And I went through the old Roman road. I love to tell this story for those who know it best, seem hungry and thirsting to hear it like the rest. When in scenes of glory I tell the new song, it'll just be the old story that I've loved so long. And I told him the story, old Roman road, Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 5:12, Romans 5:8, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, and Romans 10:9 through 13. And we knelt to pray. And I love to tell it. One of the sweetest stories. And Mrs. McBroom was here. And Mr. McBroom was here. And while we were praying there, I was praying. And I said, Lord, I said, I pray you'd help Mr. and Mrs. McBroom to get saved. I felt a cold piece of, felt like a piece of liver on my cheek, though I've never had a piece of liver on my cheek. It felt like a piece of liver on my cheek. I looked up, and there was a Cocker Spaniel dog licking me on the cheek. Now, Betty Kirk used to work here. She always called me. She said, Brother Howes, don't look at me with those Cocker Spaniel eyes. A lot of folks think I have eyes like Cocker Spaniel. One lady said, you look like a boxer to me. I said, you look like a Great Dane to me. But anyway, so that Cocker Spaniel was looking at me and licking my cheek. Well, the couple about to get saved. All the time I was praying. Well, I knew this Cocker Spaniel dog was going to stop this thing.
So I grabbed him by the neck.
There was a little pillow like about that big square. Had a little, you know how the fellow has a button in the middle? And I stuck that dog's nose down that pillow. Well, he shook, you know, like that. And I grabbed him and choked him good and hard. And stuck it down. Now, all the time I was going through the motions, I said, "Missy McRoom, would you pray?" She said, "Oh, God, save me." And I'd hold that dog and Mr. McRoom praying. And all of a sudden, while I was holding that dog's nose in the pillow and squeezing his neck, he went limp. And I said, "I've done it. I've done it. I've done it. I've killed their dog." Listen, as far as I was concerned, he's dead. He wouldn't move. I tried to make him move. He wouldn't move. And I thought, "Oh, my soul." All the time they were getting saved. And so I said, "Oh, my soul. As soon as they get saved, their salvation is going to be tested." So they prayed and got saved. But thank God, woke up and the dog was still alive. Never was so glad to see a live dog in my life. I walked out that night. Street light was right in front of the house. I looked back in the house and I saw the locked Christmas tree and the presents, and I saw the lights on the tree. And I saw Mrs. McBroom rush over and hug Mr. McBroom. They professed faith in Christ the next Sunday in this church. Remembers here for some time. In fact, I used to tell this story every Christmas when they were here. They used to sit in the balcony right up here. And anyway, I am. So, and wonderful thing. Well, I told the story a year later on Christmas Sunday. So after it was over, Mr. McRoom walked up and said, "Why didn't you tell the rest of the story?" And I said, "I told all the story I know." He said, "Well," I said, "what is the rest?" He said, "Pastor," said, the next night, after you left, that dog, exactly 8 o'clock, that's exactly when he helped pray. Same time. 8 o'clock, the exact time, the night before. That dog went up there and got his mouth and pulled that pillow to where it was when you had his nose in it and stuck his nose in that pillow, and with his back paws and feet on the floor, his front paws, up on the sofa, and he said for 5 minutes he just put his nose in there and prayed. He said, "Pastor," the next night, exactly 8, not a minute late, not a minute after 8, exactly 8. That dog went to the same place, put his back feet on the floor, front feet up on the sofa, put his nose in that same pillow, and prayed. And he said, after 7 nights, that dog did that every night. I said to my wife, "That dog got saved but more than we did." He prays every night, we don't. Oh, my. And he said, so we got beside the dog, and the dog started the family altar. That was Christmas Eve. 1959, I think it was, Christmas Eve. Or, I'm saying, they all of a sudden lived in the sky, in the clouds, it's up to you. Or Bill Bossinger, I was thinking about Bill a while ago. Oh, Bill was my friend. Bill was weak. I heard Bill say, "Brother Howes, you don't understand. You don't understand. Preacher, I'm trying not to drink, but when I was 5 years old, I took my first drink." He said, "Brother, how's you understand? You never had to go through what I go through." I remember for several years, Bill didn't take a drink. We hired him as one of the custodians here. And he cleaned my office. I remember one day I was driving down Calumet Street, turned left there on Kane. And saw Bill walking. And I stopped to pick Bill up and drive him to church. I wish I'd never done it, because I looked at his eyes. They were red. I smelled on his breath. He had wine. And my heart broke. I was thinking this morning about Sharon. Shall we ever forget the day that the news came that 6 of our young people, 6 or 7, had a serious car wreck out here? I think 1 or 2 of them were killed. 1 of them was killed, maybe. The driver of the car was killed. Little Sharon Stromberg, who spent, I guess, as much time at our house as anybody outside the family. Sharon was in the car. They called and said, "Sharon Stromberg's dying at Dyer Mercy Hospital." And I rushed out to Dyer Mercy Hospital. Back in the days, the church was smaller. I could do a lot of things I can't do now. Rushed out to Dyer Mercy Hospital. I walked up to the intensive care in a little private room intensive care. Sharon's head was shaved. I said to the doctor, "How is she?" And the doctor said, she'll die in 5 minutes. And I said, "No, she won't." And the doctor said, "Oh, yes." Said, "We just sewed up a few stitches on her face. She had dried blood all over her head, and her head was shaved, bald-headed. And the doctor said, so many bones broken, we haven't even tried to put the bones back together." He said she'd be dead in 5 minutes. I said, Doctor, would you leave me alone with Sharon for a few minutes? And he said, yes. He left me alone. And I put my mouth right up to Sharon's ear. And I said, Sharon, she is in a coma. I said, Sharon, this is Brother Hiles. Now, I don't know whether you can hear me or not, but if you can hear me, listen carefully. I said, Sharon, the doctor says you're going to die. But I said, you don't have to die if you don't want to. I said, you can live, Sharon. And I said, you can. I said, now, Sharon, you breathe. Now, you keep breathing. And I said, you can breathe, Sharon. No response. I said, you can, Sharon, you can. 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 I said, now, Sharon, you keep breathing till I get back tomorrow. Next day, I came back about the same time. Walked in. I said, Doc, how is she? He said, she's alive. I said, she'll die in a minute. Haven't said any bones yet. I said, Doc, could I be with her alone, please, again? I put my mouth right by Sharon's ear, and I said, now, Sharon, it's Brother Hiles, and I love you, Sharon. And I said, Sharon, the doctor says you're dying, but I don't believe you have to die if you don't want to. I said, Sharon, you can keep breathing. I said, now, Sharon, just breathe. Keep breathing. And I said, you can, Sharon, you can. You can, Sharon, you can. You can, Sharon, you can. I'd go on a trip. I'd tell Sharon, I'm going to be gone 2 days. Sharon, and I want you alive when I get back. She never was conscious in a coma for, days and weeks, I guess. And I'd come back and I'd say, Sharon, now this is Brother Hiles. She never responded, still in a coma. And finally, after weeks, one day her eyes opened. Every day I'd go, as I was in town, you can, Sharon, you can, you can, Sharon, you can, you can, you can, you can. Will we ever forget that day when the auditorium wall was right here? We had this much building. Looked back and Sharon was back in church, sitting right back there one Sunday morning. Oh, remember how happy we were to see Sharon? And then time came for the offering. An usher walked up, handed me a little note about like this, gave it to me. And at offering time, and the note was from Sharon. Said to Brother Hiles from Sharon Stromberg. And inside it said, Dear Brother Hiles, I did. That's all it said. I didn't know she heard me. I didn't know. It's the first I've known. And then that day, I was called to her house. And I opened the bathroom of a charred, burned house and saw that little body. I guess Sharon, 17 or 18. I saw Sharon's body. She had been taking a bath and the house caught on fire. And there was her charred body beside the bathtub as she tried to get out. And I, Brother Larry was there. I met Mrs. Stromberg about two blocks from the house. She was out shopping for Christmas. And I pulled her over beside the road. And I said, Miss Stromberg, Maxine, I want to tell you something. And I was weeping. And she said, it's Sharon. I said, yes. She went to heaven. Lord tried to get her to go months before, but Sharon couldn't go. And the Lord said, Sharon, I want to call you home. She said, no, Brother Hiles won't let me go. Lord was pulling one side, and I was pulling to the other. Guess who won? But finally, the Lord snuck up on me when I didn't know about it and took her on to heaven. But wait a minute, what am I trying to say? How many times have you seen Maxine Stromberg or Larry frowning since then? Huh? How many times you ever heard them gripe? Oh, you gripe because your kid gets the towels dirty. They'd like to have a daughter to get the towels dirty again. I'm saying, thanks be to God. You take your choice. You don't have to live in a fog. You can live in the clouds. And you don't have to be earthbound. You can live in the sky. Over the clouds and beyond the blue sky, going where none ever sicken or die. And you can live in the clouds. And you can live in the sky. Now in this Christmas season, let us not forget the goodness of God. Let us not forget the sky begins where the ground starts. It's up to you. You can go through the Christmas time gripey and sullen and surly and defeated and unhappy because recession is here. Or you can say, okay, I'll have a job, but bless God, I have the promises of God Almighty. And you can live in the sky if you want to. That little old hubble of a house can be a skyscraper. and doctor many people that live in luxurious apartments 40 stories over Lake Michigan. They're earthbound. Earthbound. And there are many people in this room this morning. Mrs. Bartels lives back in a little apartment here. She's my prayer. Lives back in a little apartment. She has no family there. In the church. Little apartment in the church. I never heard her complain. You know why? Because back in that little apartment, on her knees, you know how high she can go? She can go all the way to the glory land. All the way to heaven. She lives in a skyscraper. In a little one-floor apartment. And you, this morning, in the Christmas season, can choose. You can choose to live earthbound, or you can realize you can live in the skies.